Talking about choosing love. Love is a choice. Not so much this fairy tale love that Hollywood paints for us, through movies and so forth, about this love at first sight and this fairy tale sort of situation. But real love starts and it continues in a lifelong journey. And I'm talking about love, our love with the Lord, our relationship with Him, as well as love in marriage and so forth. It should start and grow stronger as time goes on. And so with that, that's the review of the last lesson. So I'm going to pray before we start on this new lesson of relationship. Heavenly Father, we're thankful it's good to be here, Lord, today. We pray you bless this lesson for your people, Lord. Let it be a blessing to them, I pray. Pray you bless the service today. Help with the Donaldo ministry for us here and all the other ministers and bride around the world. Bless all those others in Sunday school, downstairs, all the young people. Let it be a blessing to them as well. Pray you be with Brother Bob and family traveling today, and also Brother Michael away traveling, and whoever else is out, Lord, today for various reasons. Lord, touch all them and be with them, Lord. And bless all we've got to pray for. And just, again, just give us understanding as we're studying you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was saying, this real love requires intention. It doesn't just happen accidentally. And also, take everything that I say in this lesson and all these series of love lessons and also apply it to marriage. Almost all of what I'm saying about our love relationship with the Lord can be applied to marriage to help those of you who are married as well. Amen. So I like to quote the phrase, getting to know that girl. When I first met Gabby, October 14, 2006, in Monticello, Kentucky, I just went up to introduce myself to a young lady who was sitting by herself. I felt sorry for her, and I said, well, no youth should be left out at a young camp, youth camp. I said, I'm just going to go up and make her feel welcome. I walked away not thinking any more of her than anybody else, any other pretty girl at a youth camp. Walked away, and then something hit me in the head like a bullet in the brain and said, you need to get to know that girl. He didn't say go marry her. He didn't say have four kids with her. He didn't say spend your life with her. He just said you need to get to know that girl. And I didn't know why. But later I found out that he put in her every single little thing I'd been praying for many years before that, for a wife. Specific little details I'd been asking God for a wife. He put that in her. And I would not have known that if I had not got to know her. Everything we need, we find in Christ. You don't know that unless you start this relationship, which I'm going to define. I made up the word. It's been around a while. You can find that word on various places, but for the sake of this lesson, I want to define that word as a relationship based on receiving revelation from God. Simple as that. We need revelation more than anything. We need to call on God for revelation more than anything else in the world, Brother Benham said. It's so key, so important for us to get to know Him, and in Him we'll find everything we need. Okay? Everything we need for life's journey, everything we need spiritually, naturally, in every way. So this relationship is so important. 1 Corinthians 2, as is written, I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We must be receiving revelation. We have to have a real intimate relationship with the Lord. Otherwise, it's kind of superficial. You can have kind of just a superficial relationship with the Lord where you just kind of know Him, you believe Him, you love Him. But there comes a time where that's not enough, when you need more and a more intimate relationship. Like Brother Brown talked about, that three-room house. You know, you can know Him for a while in the living room or in the kitchen, but at some point you need to have an intimate relationship, go further with the Lord, and that requires this revelation, receiving of revelation. So, talking about daily bread, Isaiah 28, whom shall He teach knowledge, and to whom shall He make to understand doctrine, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For a while, it's okay for us to drink milk, but we need precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, for stammering lips and another tongue while I speak to this people. I say that, I'm quoting that precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, because don't overlook those little revelations. It's all important. If you look at, I think, Brother Tony, didn't you do the stonework outside the church? Whoever did the stonework, who did that? I don't even know. They hired somebody. Okay, so whoever did that, if you notice, there's big rocks and there's little rocks, but they're all important. Any building you look at, there's big parts and there's little parts, but they're all important. The smallest little pieces of revelation that you get in your journey are all important. I've been serving the Lord for 28 years and since I was 12, and I look through the last 28 years of my life's journey, and I think, well, there's mostly just little pieces here, little, there, little, precept upon precept, line upon line. Very few of these cornerstone revelations. There are a few of them, though, that turn my life around, like coming to the message out of the Baptist church and so forth, but most of it's made up of these little bitty pieces. So don't overlook, don't belittle those little bitty revelations you get along the way. That's all part of it. So from Waters of Separation, Brother Branham says, you come to the church, the water of separation, that's all right. You hear the word, it's good. You get separated from your sin, but you go out with an intellectual faith. That's the reason you can't believe. That's the reason you go back out and sin the way you do. The reason you can't hold up from one revival to another. If you let the intellectual faith move down through your brain to your heart, then it becomes a reality with a new birth. Then it'll stay there, anchored forever. God sealed you in by the Holy Spirit, and it's settled forever. You know, there was a time early on in the message, I had that cornerstone revelation that God brought me to the message. All right, and I thought, well, I'm set now. I'm set. This is great. I'm at Lula. I'm hearing the revelation of the word. This is awesome. This is where I need to be. And I floated along on pastor's coattail for a while, casting my vote. And that's good to do. Say, cast your vote with your pastor. Say, he's my pastor. I believe what he preaches about false doctrines. I don't fully understand some of what he brought out in 2004 about certain false doctrines. I didn't really quite follow it. But he said, he's preaching, you know, this is what they preach, and this is what Brother Branham said, and now you decide what to believe. And I didn't quite follow, but I said, I'm going to cast my vote with Brother Dale. I believe what he believes because he's my pastor. That's good for a time. But at some point, you can't ride pastor's coattail. In 2006, Gavin and I both faced a situation about false doctrine. Head to head. For the first time, we had to find out what we believe. And we had to seek God desperately for revelation about those doctrines, because I couldn't distinguish. I couldn't really tell which way was right. And that's when I believe the Lord was turning to me and saying, Ryan, who do you say I the Son of Man am? Gabby, who do you say I the Son of Man am? Can't be riding pastor's coattail anymore. So that's when I had this cornerstone revelation, and then it gave me a real firm foundation, a good foothold. In the days of the voice, this is quoted from Brother Luis, October 30th. I like to quote our ministers because I believe what they're preaching. And I believe in studying and going back and re-listening what they preach, because there is so much in there that you won't get sitting here in the service. For me personally, I have to go back and re-listen multiple times, and that's what I do through the week. Gabby does the same thing, staying up till 2 or 3 in the morning. She's up anyway. She can't sleep. She says, you know, it's insomnia or whatever. She's going to be up for one reason or another. But she dedicates that time to read and listen to, or to listen to our ministers. And I do too, likewise, when I'm driving the chicken truck. And I find there's so many nuggets that I missed even when I was sitting here in the service. So that's part of what I'm saying here. To come to this revelationship, you have to go back and dig and make some sacrifice and give up some things. Give up some time, give some effort. Forfeit some sleep, forfeit some food, forfeit whatever you have to, whatever stands in your way, say, get out of my way. I'm coming. If it's your job schedule, you can change things around and give up whatever you have to be here and to listen, and then go back and re-listen and study and pray and seek God. I found out for many years as a daily Bible reader that I was still missing a lot. You can read your Bible every day and devotions, and you still miss a whole lot of this revelationship. So, I mean, it takes more than just daily Bible reading. It takes more than study and comparing verse with verse, Brother Branham said. So, Brother Luis says, it's not enough for just the preacher to study the word. Amen. It's not enough for just the evangelist to study the word, the pastor. Amen. You've got to take the open little book. Let me tell you what, the book is open. It's not closed. So it's not too difficult to study. Amen. Praise God. It's an open book in this hour. Amen. God has spoken it. Amen. Through the seventh church age messenger. It's up to us to take it in. It's up to you if you're going to take it in or not. So the book is open. The book is open, and that's for sure. Amen. So I told my dream a couple years ago, I think it was. I had a dream. I dream a lot, and I dream in very intricate detail. I don't know why. Very few of them I've ever had were really spiritual. But I thought this one was, and if it's not, then I apologize, and God forgive me for even mentioning it. But I believe there's a lot of spiritual symbolism in here, and I've meditated on it over the years, and it's helped me. I hope it'll help y'all. So I'd had this dream early in the week. And then I prayed and said, Lord, is that for me, or should I mention it to the congregation? Come middle of that week, I woke up from another sleep and heard Brother Dale's voice distinctly say, tell the dream. So I came to church that Wednesday night, and Brother Bob was preaching on believer, make believer, and unbeliever. And I took that as another confirmation from the Lord, because that's what the dream is about. So in the dream, and then I stood up and told the dream. That's when I told it to the church here. Out in the parking lot, this took place at church. Out in the parking lot, there was not a parking lot. It was a pond. And I was walking around the bank of this pond, the circumference, walking around and around. And in my hand, I had two things. One was some kind of a grain meal, like we'll just say cornmeal, I'm not sure. Something for food. And I was tossing it into the pond by handfuls. The other ingredient was oil, okay? And I was pouring that into the pond. And I was walking around and around the pond. And at some point, I don't know if this is significant or not, I ran out of oil. Came into church to get more oil. Sister June, as she is a helper to so many people, I believe that's part of her ministry in life is to help people. She's helped me. She's helped Gabby. Helped our family. She's helped a lot of people here. She's a helper. She was the one in the basement here helping me get more oil. I went back out. Excuse me. And I went back to what I was doing, walking around and around this pond, pouring in these ingredients, oil and some kind of meal. All right. And as I walked around, I observed three different characters. One was this boy, similar to that in the picture, doing what a boy typically does, just immature, jumping in and out of the pond. He was never constant. And let's just say the pond represents the word of God, as water often does in Scripture. So let's just say that was the word of God. He was in and out. He was just up and down, in and out. Never steady, never constant. He would jump in the pond and then run back and then he'd jump in again. Just kind of like playing church, you know. Here sometimes he's not. Sometimes he's here, sometimes he's not. You never know when that kind of believer or that kind of person is going to be at church. There was this other character, a young lady, like that in the picture there on the left, on a slide. And it was fixed to where it was sliding down into the pool. She never would slide in. She had every opportunity easily to get into that pool and really get all the way in. But she was just kind of like a borderline believer. She was just sitting there. She wouldn't get in. She'd stay at the water, but never get in. Always there, but never got in. And as I kept walking around and around the pond, I observed another character. And this was a young lady. I couldn't really see her clearly because of the water. It was kind of distorting my vision of her. I could tell by looking down in the water as I walked around that far end of the pool or pond. As I kept walking around, I would look down and I would see her looking up at me the whole time, smiling and happy to receive what I was ministering to her. It was like handfuls of meal and, or you know, cornmeal or whatever, and oil. She was happy to receive it, always in that water, never moved. Always stable, always steady, always just content and pacified, if you will, just to sit there and receive what was being ministered to her. And she just watched me intently. Every time I made a pass, she just watched me, intently focused. Never in and out, up and down, never on the borderline, always in, completely submerged, stay in there. And to me, she represents the true believer, the bride, just staying there, always in that water, always submerged. Always believing. That's what a believer does. A believer believes no matter what and stays in this relationship. Always there seeking more of God and a close walk with Him. Okay? Might refer back to that some more here in a moment. So the Holy Ghost can't ever be false. This is Brother Wade from October 27th last year. The Holy Ghost is always going to be true. And if it falls on a true believer, it makes that person true. Everybody with me? But remember, God seals a group in, and then He rebukes a group that He's trying to come on, and they continue on thinking they've got this, and they don't. Y'all are familiar with deception. Deception is where you really believe something, and you don't know you're wrong. I never questioned the Trinity as a Baptist. I never showed up at church one Sunday in the Baptist church and said, I wonder about that Trinity. Is that really true? Never had a second thought about it until I came here. Never even had a thought about it being wrong. That's called deception. You can be in a deception, but and you really believe it. So the point is, follow Christ no matter what. And that Holy Ghost, as part of the new birth process, he will search your heart. Find what's wrong that you don't even know is wrong. Okay? You don't know what's wrong if you're deceived. All right, well, his job is he'll find that. He's an expert. He knows what's wrong in you when you don't. And then he'll put a man in the pulpit to address it. The problem is if you're not here, that's a big problem. You've missed your day of visitation. Please go back and re-listen and dig. That's part of what I'm talking about, of being that true believer, that girl under that pond that's always here, always listening, intently focused, and going back and re-listen. Get every little nugget that you missed. Search for it like treasure, like your life depends on it. Because you can go on in a deception and not know it. So that was, I think that's the same sermon. Yeah. Brother Wade, that was Brother Branham's whole message. He would look out on the whole congregation and he could discern who had the Holy Ghost and who didn't. He could say, move, Pentecostal church, move. You've got to move with God. There they sat on that slide, like that girl in my dreams, sitting on the slide, would not fully move on. And they just sit right there, and he'd watch the Holy Ghost continue on. Everybody with me, let's go. Let's don't do that here. Well, I'm sitting here at Lula. I'm fine. I'm comfortable. Everything's good. I sat there for several years myself, reading my Bible every day, come to church every service, sat there, didn't know that there was something I was missing, riding pastor's coattail. Believe in Brother Dale, and that's good. Believe Brother Wade. But there comes a time. God will wink at your ignorance. There comes a time when he commands you to repent of your own false doctrine. The things that you believe that you don't know is wrong. That's what Brother Branham's whole message was. Okay, let's... what kind of experience... This is Brother Bob Black from October 20th. What kind of experience are we talking about? A personal encounter with Christ, where you've read about it, you've learned about it, and then now you meet him. You meet him. It's a revelatory experience that transforms you deep within because Christ has become personally known. Revelationship. That's everything I'm talking about today. Revelationship. You know him. It's not that you just read about it, but you now know him. There's a transition. Know him on a superficial level. That's fine. Keep going, though. Just don't stop. I'm begging you. Don't stop there. I tell you what, when you know him, then you can fall in love with him and you can begin to know him in these dark moments. You pray him beside your bed at night, and David tossed around, as he would say, the deep, call to the deep. And also Brother Bob, I think that same sermon. Then you begin to know him. It's not just something that you've heard about, but you know him. It's a deep internal change, a complete shift in your nature. Now the new birth, let's not get this wrong. The new birth is the start of your regeneration. You're going to begin to grow the stature of perfect man. You're just getting in a place to grow now. But I tell you what, then when you're born again, it starts something. You're going to start to change. Something begins to change. It makes you different. Deep internal change. Let's see, I think I repeated that. But what you want more of God because you know the way to life is through the Word. You're going to get more life. You got to come to the Word. All right, and then you tell me a born-again Christian don't want some more word. You tell me a born-again Christian don't want to be in the house of God. There's something that changes when you're born again. You want more of the word because it brings you to the life, not just a change in behavior, a transformation of identity. From an Exodus, Brother Benham says, you're not saved because you pack a crucifix or because you go to church, because you know your catechism, your textbook. You're not even saved because you know the Bible. You're saved because you know the person, Jesus Christ. To know him is life, not even know his word is life, but to know him, the person, is life. Yes. There's only one way to know him, and that's to be born again of the Spirit of God. Okay, and then from the basis of fellowship, now you haven't, you only live in a three-room house. I quoted this earlier. You may have three or four room bedrooms, or pantries, and so forth, or the kitchen. Let's skip on down, but that's right. You live in a three-room house. God lived in a three-room house. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you live in a three-room house, soul, body, and spirit, the basis of fellowship. I got to really kind of rush along. Got something I want to get to here. That's the kitchen part, fellowshiping. faith coming by hearing. Then the next thing in the other room is the engagement room. A lot of people think as long as they get into the kitchen, that's all they have to do. So there's that slide in my dream. You're sitting on that slide at the pool or pond, always waiting but never getting in. You're just feeding then. You're just getting fed, the base of the fellowship. But the next room is where not only fellowship, but relationship comes. And that's what's the matter with the church today. They got a shame face. You can't catch my parable. They don't want that relationship with God, a revelationship. So they'd rather have some stole, cold, formal, stargy organization than Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal that really come down to the relationship with God. Okay. This is Brother Wade about a month ago. It's our problem that we say, well, I don't know, I don't understand that. There's nothing in this Bible you can't understand. If you'll get somebody, if you'll pray hard enough, God will explain it to you. There's nobody here that cannot get this revelation if you'll try and if you'll seek God. God will never let you say, well, now you're just a dummy. You don't understand that. Now, has he ever told anybody that? God won't tell you you're a dummy. If you said that, you told yourself that. God didn't tell you that because, you see, people leave church because I can't understand what Brother Dale says. I can't understand what Brother Wade. I can't understand what Brother Bob. I'm just going to leave. Well, you never had anything to begin with. You can't leave the Word of God and say that. I can't understand that if you're born again. You might not understand for a moment, but keep going. Be patient. That girl in the water in my dream, in that pond, she was patient. She always sat right there, intently focused on the ministry, delivering the Word to her. She would never leave. Every time a minister would make a pass, she was there receiving the word. Okay, she would never leave that spot. Just weeks, months, years, however long it takes, stay right there. God's obligated, folks, obligated to brothers and sisters. He's obligated to put somebody in the pulpit that will explain your question. But you got to be here. Okay, that's one thing about it. You got to be here, and if you're not, at least go back and re-listen over and over again. Brother Branham said that he's obligated. Only a prophet can say that he's obligated. God's obligated to put somebody. The problem is that we hear something like that, we close our ears up, we don't go to study, we don't get in our prayer closet and say, God, I didn't understand that word the man said today. You said you'd explain it to me. How many times have we had questions and Brother Dale would preach something that we'd be like, no, I don't know about that. He said, I'll raise my hand. I'll raise both of them. God can't send something to his children and say, I know you can't understand that, but I'm going to put it in the Bible anyway. God's not that way. God will never do that. He'd be unjust God, and we'd crack that book during the week. I'm going to preach here. We don't crack that book open during the week, and we don't study it. We don't reread the scripture, maybe, or Brother Bob, or Brother Aaron, Brother Luis. So go back and restudy what was preached here. You know, we take notes, and me and my girls, and we go back, and every Saturday or so, we have a Bible study that's based on just what's being preached here. We go back and review the notes, the sermon, and re-listen to the sermons that were quoted from Brother Branham, and, you know, review the scriptures and so forth. You just go and say, well, that was good. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. So why do we keep letting it happen all the time? Because if you don't understand, God's given us somebody to help us understand. He gives us a prophet. He gives us a fivefold ministry. That's why you're not going to get it just sitting at home. You're just not going to get it sitting at home listening to the tapes. Perseverant, Brother Bennett said, now I can't imagine them seeing that. There was some people might have been a borderline believer. You know what? That old man could have been right. Just the kind that hangs around the meetings, you know. It comes to every meeting and said, that old man, but never willing to come in. Never willing to accept it. I may have to just skip on down to the main part here, what I wanted to quote, because I'm running out of time. The main thing I wanted to get to is the church ages. This is commonly quoted around here. We're very familiar with it. It's the exposition of the seven church ages. Then I mentioned that it takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation, or we'll fail to get it. Bringing these two thoughts together, we see that it won't take just an ordinary student study and thinking to make this book real. It's going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. That means this book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people. It will take one with prophetic insight. It will require the ability to hear from God, require supernatural instruction, not just a student can bring verse with verse. Your daily Bible reading is good, and don't stop that. I believe in that. I firmly believe in daily Bible reading and devotions, but don't stop right there. It's like a devotion I read recently. It's like if you read the Bible and you don't meditate on it. It's kind of like eating food and not digesting it. You're not going to get the nutrition you need, so you need to read it, but then meditate on it. Listen to the sermons, but then meditate on them throughout the whole week. Mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit, or it never becomes clear how we need to hear from God and lay ourselves open, become yielded to the Spirit to hear and know. So be that girl, that bride, submerged in the water in my dream. Be that. Always submerged, never in and out, up and down, wishy-washy. I've already said this book, Revelation and Consummation of Scriptures, even placed exactly right in the canon of Scripture at the end. You cannot know why it says that anyone who reads or hears it, or so you can know it if you, basically, he's saying if you change it or add to it, you'll be accursed. It would have to be so, for who can add or take away from the perfect Word of God? Okay. Musicians can go ahead and make your way up here, and I'll make a few more quotes here. From Hebrews 12, wherefore, seeing we are so compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Get out of your way whatever is hindering you, like I said earlier, your job or whatever it is that would hinder you from being here, from listening to sermons and re-listening to them. From the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. We need to be forceful. At the beginning of this year, we were given a commission by Brother Andrew Glover. The main point he was making on the Watch Night service was keep walking. And that doesn't sound very profound, but it's really deep if you think about it. It has to do with everything that I'm saying today. Just keep walking. What if, you might say, Ryan, what if I'm that guy that's playing church? I'm in and out. We'll start being at church. What if I'm the girl on the slide that's at the pool all the time but won't get fully in? We'll go ahead and get in. But really, you can't put yourself in that. You can't throw yourself. In 2006, what happened to me was God intervened. But I was continuing on. I wouldn't stop. But God's the one that moved me up higher. God has to move you up higher in Revelation, but you have to be there. You got to make yourself available. And so you say, well, I'm not receiving Revelation. Just keep pressing. Keep praying. Keep serving God. He's faithful. It's like Brother Dale. He dedicated himself his whole life. Everything about him was dedicated to the Word of God. Just be that person. Be fully submerged. Keeping that revelationship every day. Reading the Bible without meditating, I already quoted this, is like eating food without digesting it. You don't get the nutrition you need unless you digest it. You don't get the divine revelation you need without meditating on the Word of God. Okay. I'll skip on ahead here. That's the way the message is. You can sympathize with and say it's right, but you've got to take it yourself to become part of it, and then the message become one. You and the message become one. Then the anointing is with you as it was with the others. Okay, so be that girl. That's all I'm going to close with on that. God bless you all. And by the way, we are short of a musician. Brother Richard is out today. He's been coughing a lot. So Brother Onan, I think Brother Onan recently, is he here? Okay, you can come play bass if you like. And Brother Joseph that was playing drums. Is Brother Joseph here? No, he's not here. Okay, I'll play drums. All right, God bless y'all.